4. Let me read quickly so you can be seated. I know you've been standing for a while, and some of you, some of us have special conditions. Standing is no small thing. Philippians 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 4. Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. That word means anxious, nervous. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Everybody say, my heart. Put your hand over your heart. Say, my heart and my mind. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there are any praiseworthy things, he says, think. That means meditate. It really does mean purposely dwell on, right? These things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, I know you loved me, you just didn't have a chance to give for a while there. Not that I speak, he says, I don't want you to think that I speak in respect of want or of need. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I know how to be abased. That means I know how to live poor. And I know how to abound. I know how to live in prosperity. Everywhere. And in all things I am instructed. That means I'm knowledgeable. I understand how to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's just steady. You know anybody in your life, they're just steady. They can be having a great day and they're doing good, but they have a bad day and they're just steady. They're not going to whine and complain and decompress and explode. And on good days, they're not necessarily coming in, bouncing off the wall. They're just, this is Paul. He says, I know when things are going great, I'm not going around telling everybody, oh, I'm doing so great, I'm doing so well. Let me tell you about my portfolio. Let me tell you how things are going. And when he's doing poorly, he doesn't come into the room saying, oh, I'm just this. Oh, pray for me, church. You know, he's just, God's in control. I trust in the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding. He keeps my mind. He keeps my heart. He keeps my heart. He keeps my mind. He said, I know how to handle these things in a way that you wouldn't even know if I was having a bad day. You wouldn't even know if I was having a particularly good day, except for the fact that this is what he said. He said, I rejoice in the Lord always. How are you going to know? How are you going to know if somebody's rejoicing in the Lord always? You just know they're grateful to be here. They're grateful to be alive. They trust in the Lord. And then he says in verse 13, I'll let you be seated. Now let me read 12 again. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can almost hear Paul, if he was saying it in today's vernacular, he might even say, you know, as a matter of fact, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes today on this concept of through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Lord, I ask you to speak to us today. I ask that your anointing that is already here to continue to help me to speak your words to your great people. Bless our hearts, our minds, our spirits. In the name of Jesus. And everybody, if you're in agreement and you're ready to receive, just say amen. Amen. Thank you for standing so long. You may be seated. God bless you today. And we just appreciate that so much. Angelo Siciliano from Brooklyn. He did not delight in weakness or insults. Visiting the beach in the early 20th century, the young Italian immigrant had a bully kick sand in his face. The self-described 97-pound weakling took action. He began seeking the most effective bodybuilding plan. And before long, he discovered this concept called dynamic tension, a technique pitting the body's muscles against each other to generate strength and bulk. And Siciliano grew both physically and in fame, and he changed his name to Charles Atlas, and he sold his method to other men. His advertisements commonly, some of you, if you had comic books growing up, I remember his ad on the back page, and it was a little cartoon, and this little old skinny guy, he's on the beach, and here comes some old muscle guy, and he's kicked sand in his face. He's telling his story, and he kicks sand in his face, and he's a bully, you know. And that guy goes and works out. Pretty soon, here he comes. He's all muscle-bound. And at the end of the comic, he punches the guy in the nose. And that's what I came to preach to you about today. How to punch people in the... No. His advertisements would commonly appear in comic books featuring headlines such as "The Insult That Made a Man Out of Mac." Most of us want to be strong physically, emotionally, and spiritually, but life is often much harder than we expect. Accidents and diseases and relationship issues and moral temptations, they just prove that we're not quite as tough as we would hope. But that's okay. That's okay. That, according to Scripture, the Apostle Paul, who faced his share of trials, he ultimately realized that weakness was simply an opportunity for God's strength to flow through him. We read it often in 2 Corinthians 12. We won't go there today, and I alluded to it recently, as a matter of fact. But Paul, the apostle, wrote of a mysterious, what he calls a thorn in the flesh, that he had asked God to remove, but the Lord answered him three times, saying... He answered in the negative, but in other words, no, I'm not going to remove the thorn. But his answer was not just a no. His answer was, quote, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, it doesn't stop there. We often quote that only. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." That's not all he said. He said this. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That's the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul. He said, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. And when Paul realized that, understand, Paul's saying three times to the Lord, "Lord, I've got this thorn in my flesh." We don't know what that was. And it doesn't matter, or else the Bible would have told us what it was. But something afflicted Paul, and Paul said it was sent by the devil to buffet me, to beat me, and it was there to keep me humble and balance me out and keep me from toppling over. And I understand why it was there, but I didn't like it, and so three times I petitioned the Lord, "Lord, if you would remove this thing from me, I might be able to preach better, maybe, or I might be able to move a little quicker, or I might be able to smile even more than I already do." The Lord said three times, "No, no, no, my grace is sufficient for you, and in your weakness, my power is strong through you. When Paul realized, oh, wait a minute, Lord, I never thought of it that way. And so Paul's response to that was, well, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Wow. To go from saying, God, remove it, to saying, oh, I never thought of it that way, Lord. You mean this thing that's causing me pain in my life that seems to be causing me to be weak in my flesh? Show of hands. How many are dealing with something right now in your flesh? I'm not talking about spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but in your flesh, there's something in your flesh that you know it's kind of weakening you a little bit. Raise your hand. It's causing you to be weakened. Now, you can put your hands down and don't respond to this. How many times have you prayed that God would remove that thing from you? Mm-hmm. More than once, more than twice, perhaps. And I'm not saying that we need to not pray those prayers, because there are times where we have things. Obviously, the Bible says, if you're sick, call for the elders and pray. But there's another scripture that says, Paul said, I just came to terms with the fact that there are some things that are allowed into my life. God didn't do it to me, but God allowed it to come, because in the big picture, God knew that he would get more glory out of this, and that I would be stronger, not in my flesh, but I would be stronger in my spirit than had I never encountered this thing. And so I just came to say, if you're weak in your flesh, at least tap into the spirit. Don't just sit around bemoaning that you are weak in the flesh and complaining that you have some ailment in the flesh. Yes, I understand. We all go through those things. But somewhere in that prayer, why don't you turn to God and say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but in the name of Jesus, I trust you, and I'm going to be strong in my spirit. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to tap into the spirit more. I'm going to decide to let your glory shine through me even more. Devil, you better watch out, because what you meant for evil, God is going to use it for good. Why don't somebody make up your mind that whatever God allows, I'm going to let God use it for good. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise and give him some glory right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He said, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power, not my power, but that Christ's power may rest upon me. So don't try to be some spiritual Charles Atlas. God has all the strength you need. There it is, his strength. Isaiah says to us in Isaiah 40, 28, the Lord is speaking to his people. He says, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. That's who you're serving. That's whose strength and power you have. He fainteth not, and he's not weary. You may get weary, but he's not weary. And you may faint, but he'll never faint. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I love this. I want to preach to you this morning and tell you that lest we kind of think, some of us in this room, you know, we sent the children aren't in here, and the youth aren't in here, and the youngest we got in here right now are hyphen age, except for some of the little ones that maybe didn't go to class, but the rest of us were young adults or older. But some of us, that I'm talking to some of you, this week I will confess to you that I took my wife's tweezers and I removed two gray hairs over here. I'm going to fight it as long as I can. I'm sorry if that's vanity. Lord, forgive me. It really wasn't vanity. These gray hairs, they just stick out. I'm discovering they don't. I don't care if I could just gel them down, but they want to poke out. So I'm like, you're out of here, buddy. Right now, it's only two or three, but you know, I know I'm going to get to that point where I just got to embrace it. But I'm not quite there yet. But what I'm saying is, we're not getting younger. We're getting older. And if we're not careful, we get to a point where we start thinking, oh, Lord, oh, God, bless those young people, Lord. My days are past, Lord. The days that I could do this and I could do that. My days of shouting are over. My days of work, really getting in the spirit there. But that's not true. And we cannot afford to turn our attention to the youth and just lay it all on the youth. Now you carry this now. It's not time to just pass the baton. It's really, I know we've preached that before, that we get to a point where we throw the mantle down or we pass the baton to the next generation. It's almost as though we think that we can do that and then now we're done. We're going to sit here on the pew and wait for the rapture to take place. If that was God's will for you to pass the baton and be done, as soon as you pass the baton, you'd just die and go to heaven. But we're still here with some wisdom behind us. Thank God we're still here. Amen? One of the comforts I take in our nation is that when we elect a new president, I get nervous sometimes when we elect a new president because I'm thinking, man, have you ever started a new job? And you're a little nervous, aren't you? Can you imagine having the weight of the whole country your first day as the leader of the free world? That has to be a little nerve-wracking. I don't care what party you are, what your policies are, whatever. I mean, and so one of the comforts I take is knowing that we always have at least two or three or four or five, sometimes former presidents that have been on the job, and that maybe they can pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, you know, how do you open this cabinet drawer over here? How does this nuclear thing work? I don't want to accidentally set off a, you know. We got some past wisdom, some people that have been on it before that they can call. I hope every one of them leave a letter on the desk when they leave and say, if you need anything, give me a call, right? And so this is us. In the church, we are those ones. We've been in this a while. We've been through some things. We've been through those valleys that we sing about and those valleys that we read about in the scripture. Our young people, they still have some of those valleys to go through. You've already been through some of those valleys. So you can say, young person, hang in there. I've been where you are. I've gone through what you're going through. We're praying for you. We're on your side. We're for you. We're not against you. And if I made it, come on somebody, if I made it through, God's going to bring you through too. Because even the young people will faint. That's what Isaiah says. Even the youths will faint. And even the youths will be weary. Amen. So we can't throw it on. Well, let the young people carry it. We're still carrying this thing. Along with the young people, we're carrying this thing. We all have our thing to do. We all need to be strong. And Isaiah doesn't allow us to just throw it to the young people. Well, they're strong. He says, no, they get weak too. Did you know, I believe this. I believe we live in a day where our young people are more, and I know every generation says, oh, young people today. But I think probably every generation that says that's probably right, you know. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. We live in a day where our young people are more under assault and attack spiritually and mentally. Our young people, their minds are being attacked and tormented. Their emotions are constantly under barrage, I believe that, of hell. I was reading an article from Psychology Today, and it was talking about pornography, and it was talking about how that today's young people, it's not a question of if they will be exposed, but when they will be exposed. Is that not a sad, sad truth? A generation ago, somebody being exposed to pornography, it might be like a centerfold picture. centerfold picture in that day is like a rated R, the junk that they might see today. A generation ago, to be exposed to that, a young person would have to lie about their age or get somebody that's old enough to get something for them. And today, a young person, the moment you hand them this device, they're at risk. And I don't care what safeguards you put on there and what blocks you put on there. There are people whose sole mission it is to get young people around those roadblocks. That article said that the average age of exposure to pornography now is 13 years old, and that's on the high age. It's on the high side. Can you imagine that? And so if you think our young people aren't fainting, if you think our young people aren't weary, there's just a whole new plethora of a bombardment that hell is coming against our youth with. They live in a day where protests are going on their college campuses. They're living in a day where hatred is everywhere, division is everywhere. They live in a day of high pressure upon our young people. When I was young, and most of you, we never even heard of anxiety attacks, panic attacks, nervous conditions. Today, we have counselors in our schools who stay busy working overtime dealing with young people who are dealing with fear and anxiety on a daily basis. I'm telling you that our young people, we can't just say, well, our young people got it easy and they don't need prayer. They need prayer too, because even the youths can faint. Even the youths can be weary. I don't know what it is. We get a certain age and we forget what it's like to be young. And we expect our kids and our young people to act like adults. And they're not. They're still kids. But they're kids surrounded by adult issues. And they need us to come alongside them and pray with them. Brother Jerry, it made my heart so glad to see you come up here with Grant and just put your arms around him and pray. I don't know what's going on. Maybe nothing. Maybe you just felt led to do that. But you put your arm around him and begin to pray with your boy. We need more of that. You need to understand that. Does it make some of them uncomfortable? It does. It made me uncomfortable when I was a teenager. But once I got past the uncomfortable part, I sure am glad. Now that I'm 57 here in a few weeks, when I think back on those uncomfortable moments, and my dad, he was a master at that sometimes. He just didn't care. If he wanted to pray for his boy, he's going to come up pray for his boy, and he wanted to call and come up here and get prayer, I got a word for you or whatever. And sometimes that wasn't cool, wasn't comfortable around my friends, but I thank God for every time my dad put his arm around me and prayed over me, prayed for me, because I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today if my elders had not understood that sometimes even the youths faint. Even the young people get weary. I just want us to pause a moment and remember that. I know we got our grown-up issues, and it's easy for us to say, oh, honey, you don't know nothing about the world yet. You don't understand. Just wait till you get to be an adult. Stop that. Stop that. Please don't say those kind of things to your children, to your teenagers. They are going through real issues, real things. Real thing, not the same thing you're dealing with. Well, if you just wait till you have to pay taxes, you wait till you have to hold the job, you wait. No, they are waiting. It will come. It will come. But you're also not dealing with the same stuff they're dealing with. So even the youths, we need to remember that. Even they get weary, and they need to understand. So here's Isaiah saying, look, you older people, understand. You can't turn and trust and rely on the strength of your own people even, because even the young people are going to get weary and faint. So what's the answer? What's the answer? If even the young people are tired, what do we do? Verse 31. But they... regardless of age, they that wait upon the Lord shall, here's the concept, renewed strength. It doesn't have to be young strength. It doesn't have to be brand new strength. It doesn't have to be Charles Atlas new muscle strength. God says if you'll wait on the Lord, even when you're tired, even when you're weary, even when you're fainting, and even when your young people are under attack, if you'll just wait upon the Lord, He will show up, and that strength that was waning will be renewed in you. He will renew their strength, and you can have new strength, renewed strength, revival. That's what we call revival in your spirit, revival in your body. Revival in your mind. If you believe it, just say amen. Amen. Renew their strength. Joel 3:10 says that we need to let the weak say. Come on, it's time to fight. It's time to plow. It's time to have harvest. It's time to have revival. This is where we are right now. We're fighting on one hand the devil, and we're reaching for the world on the other hand, and we're dealing with family stuff and political stuff. And look, we all live in this messed up world, and we're all dealing with issues. And if we're not careful, I preached it a couple weeks ago, we can become disillusioned and tired, and our faith is under attack. But Joel said, look, you need to let the weak say, I am strong. That's not a lie. That's simply saying, Lord, when I am weak, you are strong. When I am weak, I'll turn. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to go to the rock that is higher than I. That's where my strength comes from. It's not my strength. It's His strength. Zechariah told us in 4:6, he answered and spake unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, who was tasked with that daunting task of rebuilding the temple with disillusioned people. They were tired in their body. They were weary in their mind. They were dejected in their spirit. They looked at the task at hand and like, man, the walls of our temple, they're just destroyed. It's one thing to start a new building project. It's another thing to look at something that was and then was destroyed. Y'all remember a few weeks ago when that bridge, tanker ran into the bridge and collapsed the bridge, and I don't know, if you're like me, I'm looking at that thinking, where would you even start to clean that up? And this is kind of where they are. It's like, it's not just a new building. It's like, we got to move this and clean that and fix that and get that out of the way and figure out where it goes where, and this is what they're tasked with, and it's easy to get tired and weary in that situation. And Zerubbabel, he's the leader, and even he's getting a little bit tired. And so thank God for men of God in our lives that the Lord will give a word to every once in a while. You ever just come to church and you're just a little weary, and the preacher didn't know. I've heard many of you say, how did you know what I was going through? I didn't know. Nobody told me. I just got a word from God, and that's the best way to get a word, is to get a word from God. And God gave Zechariah a word. He said, you tell Zerubbabel, he's going to build the walls and his people are going to rebuild the temple. But you tell him, it's not going to be by might and it's not going to be by power. In other words, it's not his might and it's not his power. So stop worrying about that. It's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I came to tell somebody today, you might be weary, you might be tired, you might be drained. Come on, but it's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by the power of the Spirit of God. When His Spirit moves upon us, we have new strength, renewed strength by the Spirit of God. Oh, clap your hands mightily to the Lord if you're thankful for every time that His Spirit has moved in your situation. His Spirit has moved in your soul. Amen. It's not by your power, Zerubbabel. Hey, it's not by your power, Turning Point. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. I will tell you that last Sunday afternoon's service, I've been praying for that service for a little while. I've been praying for a service where the Lord would just break in. And we would just let him do it. I like order. Yes, I do. I like routines. Nothing wrong with routines. And we have to have a plan. And we certainly operate under that. But there are times where we just need, because we're an apostolic church. We're Pentecostal, remember. We believe in the Spirit of God moving. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You can't orchestrate that. But let me tell you what we can do, okay? We can, I know we don't like the word orchestrate or organize or plan. I don't know why we're afraid of those words. I guess because we can over-plan and over-orchestrate. I understand that. But the Bible is not anti-organizing. It's not anti-structure. We can orchestrate such an environment and an atmosphere. If you don't believe that, you go back and watch when they dedicated the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he didn't just put up a building and say, all right, God, whatever you want to do, we'll just walk in there and see what happens. No. They had all the altars were in perfect place. The sacrifices were lined up. The choir was in place. The musicians were in place. The priests were in place. And when they had everything in place, when they laid that sacrifice on the altar and they begin to offer that to the Lord, then the Bible says the glory of the Lord filled the temple so completely and overwhelmingly that the priests could not even stand to minister. That wasn't just chaos. That was orchestrated to bring them to a point where God could move. Last Saturday, I listen to me. I'm just going to be transparent with you. I don't want to ever be come across as a bully. I'm not a bully, and I hope I didn't offend any of you when I pushed us last Sunday afternoon. But I just felt like we were just at a wall, at a precipice. That if we could just get out of our little comfort areas, our little routines, because we come. I'm not knocking you. I celebrate you just being here. I thank God you were here. If it's between staying home and coming to church, come to church. But once you come to church, it's between you sitting there or getting in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. If it's between you sitting or moving, move. If it's between you just being docile or worshiping, worship. Because when we move, and so last Sunday when I said, come on, let's get around the front. You know, some of you looked at me like, and I said, come on anyway. Come, no, I don't mean there, I mean here. Yes, right here. Come on. Now, get in place. Now, we're going to sing this song again, and we're going to do this a little bit. We're going to clap our hands at least. We're going to clap on the two and the four. Remember that? The two and four. I'm just joking about that, by the way. But it does help us to know how to clap sometimes. And we're going to, come on, we're going to bounce a little bit. We're going to act like we're apostolic. And had I not done that, I'm not saying that it was because of me, but had I not done that, I fear we would have come. We would have had our three songs. We would have had our sermon. You would have felt a little better, but you wouldn't have felt what you felt. Because we got to get ourselves in a position where it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. And sometimes we just need an infusion. We don't just need inspiration of a sermon. We need an infusion of the Spirit. And it's by my Spirit, God says, that I will give you the strength and the power to have the revival that you want to have, desire to have, need to have. It's through the power of His Spirit. Amen. As you stand with me. That being said, I want to encourage us to every time we come to the house of God, move and let the Lord have His way. Amen. Because the strength that we are dependent upon, it's not going to come through our buildings. It's not going to come through our planning. It's not going to come. Listen, I think we need to have good services and good church and do everything the best we can. Amen. I want us to buy the property out here, and I want us to build a nice building. I think we ought to have the best building in town. I believe that. I think we ought to have the biggest building in town. I believe, and I say that because if we're preaching the truth, we need to bring souls into the kingdom of God, and we're going to do it out. We're going to do it outright. We will do it outright. God opens the door. We're going to do it right. But that building, this building. We can have everything in place, and I think we ought to do the best we can singing. We ought to sound the best we can, and don't we have great singers and musicians? We sure do. We're so thankful for them. But we can rehearse and we can get our parts just right and our timing just right. And I stood out there a while ago, and I will be honest with you, as a musician, I just marvel sometimes. Man, those guys are so good. It's just, they just sound so awesome. But then I got to get back. Okay, oh Lord, it's about you. It's about you. But y'all just sound so good, and that's great, but it's not by might, and it's not by power, and it's not by talent, and it's not by harmony, it's not by musical ability, it's not by the building, it's not by how nice we dress, and we're here on time every Sunday, and I don't understand people that don't get here on time. Well, bless your heart, you don't have 5 kids to get ready, so stop worrying about all those people. You know, it's just these things that we get all wrapped up in. If everybody would get here on time, we'd have good church. No, we wouldn't. They'd all be cantankerous like you. It's not about whether it's too hot or too cold, and it's not about that. It's not about the Sunday school program. It's not about the youth program. It's not about the bus. It's not about our activities. It's not all of those things. We need them, and they need to be in place. And we need good preaching, and we need good teaching, and we need good singing, and we want to use all of that. But can I just tell you, they're little home mission churches having church this morning, that the only people showing up is a family, and the mom's playing the keys and she don't even know how to play, and the son's on the drums and he can't even keep a beat, and the dad's up there trying to preach to 2 or 3 people sitting out there in the pews, and they don't have a nice building, but they're going to have church, and the Spirit of God is going to move. And because they allow the Spirit of God to move, they're going to be strengthened, they're going to be blessed. That's what we've got to have in every service. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by our abilities, it's by His Spirit. Please, Turning Point, hear me. Don't ever stop allowing the Spirit to infuse this congregation. Amen. Best thing that'll happen to you today, best thing that would happen to Sister Clara May's family today, is for the Spirit of God to move. Bless them and strengthen them. Best thing that could happen to somebody who's sick today in their body is for the Spirit of God to move. Come on, right? The best thing that could happen to somebody having problems with anxiety and fear and panic is the Spirit of God to move upon them. Best thing that could happen to somebody having family issues and problems, marital issues or problems, is for the Spirit of God to just move upon that situation. And in just a few seconds, God is able to heal, deliver, change hearts, save souls, save marriages, save families. This altar is open to you today. I would encourage us today to just turn to the Lord and just tell the Lord, Lord God, I'm sorry if I've been making it about my strength, my power. God, I don't want to just sit around asking why me, or where did this come from? I just want to say, Lord, how do you want me to respond? Where do I turn? I'm going to turn to you. This altar is open. You can pray at your seat. Just whatever you feel led to do today. Let's have a little time with Jesus. If you're here today and you want to be baptized, please come talk to us. We'd love to baptize you in Jesus' name. We're here for you. If you're home watching, join us in prayer. Let the Lord bless you today. The weapon may